you smell, but the zone is cooking. It's time for the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report.
Well, Matt, you may have to cue up Wally making those noises over Alyssa Milano because Jim's Razorback Pizza has arrived.
It is that good.
Oh, we are at Jones Brothers in North Little Rock. We're talking pool tables. We're eating pizza because I'd rather do that than talk pizza and eat pool tables. Wouldn't
either,
you?
Either one's a good combination.
Our buddy James is here. Nate Olson's here from Sync Weekly. We'll talk about what they've got going this week.
Sure.
We have the entire 12 o'clock hour for you to fill, Nate, so try to be interesting.
I'll do it.
The top 10 moments in college football history as far as finishes go, including, of course, that Iron Bowl finish last week, will be part of our 12 o'clock hour as well. This hour we're going to be joined by Edward Ashoff in mere moments, as well as Mark Abernathy, who is a local businessman. Talk to Edward in just a moment about the upcoming SEC championship. Arkansas now focused on basketball and a very exciting win over a lesser than the other night over Southeastern Louisiana. A blowout victory for the Razorbacks, but an entertaining game to watch. I don't know if you watched much of that, Nate, but it was
saw a little bit of it, yeah. Shake up in the starting lineup.
Dunk City, baby. It's good to see some Dunk City happening. Bottom line is this is going to be a fun team to watch, and hopefully they'll get a chance to get better throughout the year. But at least they're entertaining. I will give you that. Going on sale today, as of 8:30 this morning, single-game SEC conference basketball tickets for Arkansas. A couple of things you might want to note on your calendar if you're interested. Florida is January 11th, Kentucky January 14th. Auburn, which is a game that I don't think Arkansas could lose. They could bring back the best team from the best guys from 1992, and I think all those guys are still in good enough shape to knock off this Auburn team. Missouri, January 28th, Mike Anderson taking on his old team. February 5th is Alabama, something we're better than them at, hopefully. LSU, February 15th, South Carolina, February 19th, Georgia, March 1, and Ole Miss wraps it up March 5th. It might be worth it just to go up there and boo that
Marshall Henderson
crackhead guard they got at Ole Miss. One last thing. Here's something interesting. If you pick three of the four games, these are non-conference. This is a pick three holiday pack. Promo code pick three. The Razorbacks are not in any way giving me money for this, but I thought this was a good deal, James.
Okay.
You pick three of these four games. Savannah State, Tennessee Martin, High Point, and Texas San Antonio. None of them sexy, admittedly, but they are three Razorback basketball games, and they all count. For every two tickets purchased, you get a $25 Ruth's Chris gift card.
I was hoping they'd give you two more tickets.
What a deal.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes, last year they had a special going that if you bought two tickets, they wouldn't make you watch the games. This year, they're going to give you a Ruth's Chris steak deal. So that'll get you the majority of a filet, maybe not quite a full filet.
You know, maybe a half a filet.
You can't get the steak, James, but you can get the sizzle for 25
That's
bucks
right.
at least.
Get a warm plate.
That's it. Let's go to the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. There he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Whether you're a Hog fan, a lover of Southern sports, or just someone who wants to know what's going on in the Premier League of College Athletics, snuggle up close to your radio, computer, or phone, because it's time to hear from ESPN.com's SEC insider, Edward Ashoff, who's here to tell you all you need to know about what's up and who's going down in the SEC.
All right, Edward, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing really well.
Where are you today? Are you in Atlanta?
I'm in Atlanta, sitting in my apartment. Christmas lights all up. Cat trying to get into the Christmas tree. There you go.
Is the weather okay down there? Because we're going to get ice here, it looks like, in the next 24 to 36 hours.
It doesn't feel bad, but it just looks gross.
Okay.
It just looks like... It looks like it's going to rain.
Last I checked, they played the SEC championship game in a dome, so I think we're going to be fine either way, right?
It's good news. And, hey, when that new dome comes with that retractable roof, there you go, it'll be pretty fun.
That'll be really nice. Have you seen a barrage of Auburn fans or Missouri fans or both yet?
Not yet. I stayed in last night and... Yeah, just went to the gym, so I didn't really see a lot of people. Went to go get
you're
my
not
going to
see a lot of
my car.
You're not going to see any Missouri or Auburn fans at the gym. No, you will not see Missouri or Auburn fans hanging out at the gym. Not on SEC championship weekend. I don't imagine. No.
You got to get the pregame pump in.
Exactly. I guess that's true. I mean, you know, you're in a different position than most of those fans probably coming down there. Though I guess you know you're trying to look right. I guess it is what it is. So, did you go to the Iron Bowl last weekend?
I did. It was okay, it was a lot of fun. It was
just talk,
the ending to that game. I actually have video of it, so it was. I can't even explain what I saw, and I think D Ford did it perfectly for Auburn. If you weren't there, I can't explain it. And I know we've seen it on TV, but I'm just sitting there thinking, oh, I'm going to get a stupid video of a missed field goal.
Right.
And Chris Davis keeps running, and I'm like, wait a second. Hold on, this, what? But another miraculous finish for the Auburn Tigers.
How good did your video turn out?
It's pretty good. It's not bad.
Did you post it anywhere? Are you trying to avoid any sort of legal?
What'd you say?
Did you post it anywhere? Are you trying to avoid any kind of legal ramifications?
I think I just put it on my Instagram. I went the safe route.
I'm not an Instagram guy. I'll have to get on there and check that out. I'd like to see your video.
Mm-hmm.
So
pretty good. Good one. I'm proud of it.
At the end of the day, how did you feel? I mean, did you feel like they got lucky? Did you feel like they just outcoached Alabama? Did you think Alabama made mistakes? I mean, what was your take on that?
I think it's all of the above, and there's luck in that return. Clearly, I mean that I've never seen that happen at college level. But I do think that Alabama was outcoached at the end, and I think Auburn's defense really it hasn't been talked about a lot. But they just gave up 53 yards and blocked a field goal after giving up that 99-yard touchdown to Mari Cooper, which we thought in the press box was the backbreaker. We were like, okay, time to write our stories now. Alabama, okay, yeah, it was a tough game at first. They come back and win. But to not let T.J. Yeldon do much of anything outside of that 24-yard run, which in the end, I mean, it didn't matter at the moment until that field goal was missed. But that's pretty good from that defense. That means that just about 29 yards before that play, we're going on in series that really matter. And I think that for Auburn, this is a team that clearly we're talking destiny, we're talking luck, but they played really well in the fourth quarter. I think they've outscored their opponents by almost 40 points. They've only been outscored twice in the fourth quarter of the season, and they won both of those games for some pretty nice plays from the defense and the offense. But I do think and I don't know how much it's really been talked about and really digested, but Nick Saban, the perfectionist, the coach that everyone respects, I know a lot of fan bases don't like him, but every single fan base in the country would love to have him as their head coach. Maybe not Auburn right now, but I could not believe he tried to attempt a 67-yard field goal with 1 second left. You have a better chance of a Hail Mary pass from A.J. McCarron than trying to get a kick out of Adam Griffith, who made 60 yarders in practice. Yeah, that's great, but that's not even close to being on the plane Saturday night with the SEC on the line. And to not have any athletes capable of catching anyone who returns the ball, a major blunder by Nick Saban, and I don't know if I've ever said that, but I think that he was outcoached at the end. Great decision by Gus Malzahn to switch Ryan Smith and Chris Davis there at the end. This is a team of luck, but they've played well enough get to the left
point. Yeah, in hindsight, it is a mistake, I guess, and it would be interesting to see the percentages. I mean, and I don't know if there's even anything kept like that, but I mean, you know, you're looking at a one-shot deal, and it's either a guy trying to kick a field goal or it's a guy trying to catch a, you know, ball in traffic, and you know, neither one is a very high percentage, certainly, but obviously had more confidence in the kicker. You know, the bigger thing to me is going back to the 32-yard field goal that he did not allow them to attempt, and he went for it on fourth down. You know, I know they'd had some issues in the kicking game prior to that, but I was surprised, you know, if you're going to try something, that's a pretty easy field goal for just about any kicker, no matter what kind of problems they're having. I was shocked they didn't at least attempt that field goal.
Yeah, and it definitely came back to haunt them in the end. I mean, they had four missed field goals in that game, and Auburn going for it on fourth, you're thinking, what are they doing? And then Alabama goes for it on fourth, and it doesn't work. You're like, okay, you make up for your mistake there. But, yeah, I was just really confused with a lot of what Nick Saban was doing late in the game and during the early parts of the game, certainly as well. For a team that is so focused and prepares better than anyone out there, and when the season is on the line and the championship is on the line, they're going to win that game. I was really surprised at what happened late. And I know it's something that Nick Saban is going to fume over. I know that Alabama fans, obviously, with all the craziness that has gone on since the game ended with that fan base, they're not happy. it's just a weird turn of events, and I still have a hard time believing what I just saw outside of that return.
I believe it. Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com, joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Let me ask you about the matchup this weekend. The SEC Championship, Missouri from the East, which nobody predicted. Auburn from the West, which probably even fewer people predicted. It is a pretty even matchup, and a couple of teams that really mirror each other in some ways. Should be a what I would expect it to be, a very interesting game down to the wire.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one. I know it's not the sexy matchup that people thought would be in the SEC Championship game. I know at the beginning of the year, us experts, the smart guys in the room, as I like to call us, picked Alabama and Georgia, even though I had South Carolina, and I was pretty close on that one.
I did too.
It's going to be a good one. And the reason it's going to be a really good one is both of these teams really have nothing to lose. I mean, winning, you need a lot of help to get to the national championship. But these are two programs that won a combined 8 games last year. And Auburn guys, when I talked to them, said they were embarrassed to be on campus. Coach got fired. Gary Pinkel, it looked like he had 1 foot out the door heading into this season. No one knew what to expect from Missouri. And I think Auburn, people expected, okay, 7-8 wins, that's great. Missouri, I wasn't even sure if they were going to make a bowl game. I think I had them at 6 wins. The turnaround that they've made has obviously been because they're healthy, but their confidence level is different. They started from the beginning of the beginning of spring practice and said, we want to play in the national championship. We don't care about getting back to the bowl game. We want to play for the big one. So I think that the total change, and these seniors really had a lot to do with that. James Franklin and Damian Washington, especially LaDamian Washington, I mean, he came to the team and said, we don't want to worry about the games ahead. Let's take it one step at a time. And he used 12 steps. It was a 12-step program for that team, and each step represented a game. And they would not even look at the next step until they were done. And that usually started on the Sunday after the game. So I just think that the focus, the preparation has been different for this team. It's going to be really fun to watch both those offenses, especially Auburn's running game. And I give Auburn the advantage because of that. They ran for almost 300 yards on Alabama, the best rush defense in the SEC, average almost 6 yards per carry. I like Missouri's defensive line. I think it's better than Alabama because it has better athletes. It has a Michael Sam, who might be the best defensive player in the country outside of C.J. Mosley. But when you can rush for almost 300 yards against Alabama, who has better athletes overall, I think you're going to have the advantage in the SEC championship game against Missouri.
Okay. Now, what are your thoughts on an SEC team jumping Ohio State if they win?
I've gone back and forth on this one, and I don't care which one it is. If it's Missouri who's behind Alabama or Auburn who's in front, the winner of that game, it's going to be tough to keep them out of the national championship. And I get it. Listen, Ohio State, 2 straight years without losing a game. Urban Meyer's done a phenomenal job. The strength of schedule does get me, though. They haven't played a lot. Florida State hasn't either. Florida State's strength of schedule is worse than Ohio State. But no one's talking about that because they have probably the Heisman Trophy winner, and they've scored more than 40 points in every game this season. I just think that what Ohio State has done has been really, really impressive, but they haven't really beaten a lot of teams this year. I think that 2 of the teams they've played have been ranked in the top 25. Florida State's best one is Clemson. Okay, so you give that advantage to them. Auburn and Missouri, both with 4 wins over ranked opponents. Auburn just beat the number one team in the country. Missouri was 5-7 last year. I wouldn't be upset if I were an SEC fan if they didn't make it because I understand, you know, what Ohio State and Florida State have done, but I wouldn't be shocked if at the end of the day something weird happened and Auburn or Missouri, probably more likely Auburn, jumped Ohio State, even if Ohio State beats Michigan State.
At the end of the season now, of course, everything's over for Arkansas and 3 other SEC teams. Going forward for Arkansas, what, you know, obviously they got a lot of areas of need, but I guess what do you feel about their program, you know, compared to what your expectations were going into 2013?
I think it's going to come down to recruiting, and I put this in the power rankings. He just doesn't, Brett Bielema just does not have the players up and down the board that he needs. And no new coach is going to have that when you're implementing a new system. It takes time. But I think that this is a team that's a little shell-shocked. They played well in that LSU game. I was really impressed with the way they ended the season. I mean, obviously, don't want to lose like they did in Little Rock to Mississippi State. And I'm sure they want that last drive against LSU back, but that's the stronger way that I thought than I thought they would end the season. I really wasn't sure if they would be in both of those games. More so maybe the Mississippi State game, but I didn't think that they would hang around with LSU, and they played really well. It's going to come down to recruiting. They have to improve the offensive line. They have to get weapons around Alex Collins. Obviously, Brandon Allen has got to improve from all phases of the game. He has to have a better pocket presence. He has to be a better leader. And, yeah, he's taking over for a great quarterback that just left that school, Tyler Wilson. But you're the guy. You got to stand tall. I think that this is an opportunity for a little bit of competition there. Obviously, the defense started to play a little bit better toward the end of the season, but I think it's kind of like what I said about Gene Chizik in his last season. You've got to develop if you want to improve, and he just didn't. And now this is where Brett Bielema has to sit back and go, okay, it's time to really put the coaching in. And I think that comes in the second year. You definitely make the biggest turnaround in your second year, or you could take the biggest fall. So if they're going to improve, I think line play has to be good. They're going to lose some guys on that defense line. That's obviously going to hurt. But it's all about development from here on out for Arkansas.
Edward, we appreciate it. It's been a fun season. We'll catch up again here, and we've got 10 SEC teams that are headed to bowl games, so we'll break all that down after this week, and next week we'll get a recap of the SEC championship game. So officially, you are down for Auburn this weekend.
I am. Put me down. All right. Put me down.
And then also, you like Michigan State or Ohio State this weekend?
Part of me doesn't think Michigan State has the athletes to match up if Ohio State scores a few touchdowns, but I love an upset, and I'm going Michigan State. Plus, I think they have the best uniforms in college football.
You think Michigan State does?
They do. Unless they're wearing those weird ones they wore a couple of weeks ago. I like the straight green with the white pants, the green stripes, and the green helmet.
Whenever I create a team, that's the color scheme
that I use.
You have spent a lot of time thinking about this. I'm a little disturbed by that, but that's cool.
Well,
see, you're a guy who doesn't have kids that you have to chase all over your house. You got a little time for your brain to relax and think about things like that. That's good. You know what I'm going to do?
Exactly.
I'm going to send my kids down to your house for a week after the season's over so my brain can relax. That's what I'm going to do.
As long as you don't mind them coming back as little soccer players.
That's fine. That's fine. And they'll help you clean up your Christmas decorations, too. They're very helpful around the house.
That's exactly what we need in this department, is someone to clean outside of us.
That's perfect. I like that. All right, Edward, take care, my man. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Right. Thank you. All right. That's Edward Ashoff, SEC blogger for ESPN.com. And there you go.